us in this church and has gone way over above and has done mighty, mighty things for us. And I know Jelaine and I, we thank them for what they've done for us. You know, we have our counsel here that really helps us if, you know, if we need to make whatever decisions and, you know, whatever that needs to happen. But I want Otis and Marjorie, would you please come on up? These are part of our people. And come up here. They're part of our council, and I tell you what, so faithful. And I just appreciate their hearts for God and what God wants to do in their hearts and in their lives. And I appreciate them and their family. Also, I'd like Leonard and Gail, would you please come on up? They are part of our council that helps make decisions if we need, if I need their help or whatever. But I appreciate them and all that they've done for us, and I want to thank y'all. Appreciate it. Ms. Gail, she not only does that part, but also she takes care of all the financial stuff of the church. So she's the money woman. You know, she's the one. She takes, but she also pays the bills, so that's good. So, but we appreciate y'all and we thank God for y'all, and we thank God that He's placed y'all here. And I want to thank both of you for obeying the Father and coming here. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hallelujah.
And also, I want to thank y'all. Thank you, Otis, and thank you, Marjorie. And I want to thank you, both of you, for obeying the call of the Father. When He put it upon your heart that you didn't run away, but you ran to Him and came and is doing what God wants you to do. And I appreciate that. Also, Jelaine, would you come on up? Jelaine is part of our... You know, you have the inner circle. Maybe you have, if you get a little bigger here and there. Well, Jelaine's my inner circle. She's really the one that really helps me making decisions and all the things that she does. She's over our children's church and with all these kids and does the bulletin.
Read your bulletin.
Don't just put it in the seat in the front and whatever. Read it. Read the bulletin. She helps clean and do all kinds of stuff here. And I want to tell you, I appreciate you. I love you. And before we go on, do any of y'all want to say something?
We have such a great appreciation, truly, for all of you. You know, if you don't come on Sundays, why are we here? So we are very thankful. I mean, 9 years. 9 years. Amen. And in those 9 years, listen, this is life. You're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. Ups and downs. And I have to tell you, I don't know that I've ever seen you discouraged when it comes to this church. And you know we've had ups and we've had downs. And if that is an amazing thing to me, you come here and you keep swinging the bat. And you keep swinging the bat. And you keep swinging the bat. And, you know, I appreciate that. And sometimes, you know, I try, sometimes if I ever get discouraged, I try to hide that. Because I think part of my job is to kind of lift him. But he'll always tell me, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Appreciate our people. Appreciate our lovely building. I remember one day we were invited. Remember, we were invited. The churches here recognized us as a church, and we were invited to something. I don't remember what it was. But we were invited. And so we stayed after church. We went at Johnny's in the cave. We've got a couple of hours. What are we going to do? We came back here and took a nap. I laid down on that row. He laid down back there. And when I woke up, and I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, how far you brought us. And we are deeply appreciative and we can do it. Truly.
Amen. We truly do love you guys. You know, sometimes you just hear the words and you think, well, but from our hearts, Joanne and I, we appreciate every one of you and all the things that you have done. Also, I know we have Andrew. Why don't you come on up? Andrew is him and Joe. Joe, can y'all come for just a minute? Is Jess here?
Yeah.
Is the grandkids here? Oh, open that door. I need to see them. I don't care. We cut in church. You might say, but they were out of town for a few days, and it's like, oh my God. And it was Jess's birthday. My oldest is 27. Oh my Lord. Hey, Jensen, come see. Come see.
Come see, my boy.
I'm sorry, though. We have to just stop for a few minutes.
Hold
up. These are our grandkids. And Otis and Marjorie's too. Some of them. This is, we don't know Isla Grace, huh? She's a handful. Charlie, you can come on. I'll come on. Then we have Jensen and Isabella. We do want to thank you all. Thank you, Joe and Joey. Joe, you want to say something? Oh. I knew you would. I took care of your dog this week. You look a little. Jess, good to see you. Good to have you. Amen. And also, you know, we have Johanna back there. Waiting on Johanna. She's over there. We have Johanna that's over the nursery that takes care of things. We have Mr. Ron back there. Mr. Ron, why don't you stand up? He takes care of security for our church. You know, just kind of, you know, with all the things that are happening, we take precautions on a lot of stuff. You may not know it, but things are going on, so we take care of things. Because we have to. We have to. I know Mr. Jim's not here. And Anita helps with, amen. Thank you, Miss Anita, with the children's church. And we have Reed and Ron that weren't able to make it today. They're over the greeting and stuff. But we want to thank everybody for all that you've done and help and stuff. Well, amen. Thank you, guys. We appreciate every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, we got to see y'all. Good. Yeah, that's okay. She said we're just a little bit late. That's okay, man. Amen. Out of mouth of babes, huh? We're just a little bit late. Coming from where? Amen. Well, without further ado, I know you just sat down, but I would like Otis and please come on up.
You didn't want to say anything.
Otis, if you would, this side, Angel, this side. You know, it's been about a year or so, you know, I could see, well, before that, I could see the hand of God upon Andrew's life, the power and the anointing upon his life, and I could see in Otis's life the power and the presence of God upon his life, and I know, you know, about a year ago, I just started giving them responsibilities of doing certain things and preaching and just, you know, doing the things that need to be done in the church, you know. Because, you know, you'll have all kind of people that want to volunteer when it's in the limelight. You know, you have to see what's going to happen when it's no one sees. When no one sees and no one gets glory at all. And so, you know, I saw the call upon their lives. And, you know, just seeing what God has done in them and through them. You know, there are tenets or sacraments that certain of these guys know that they are to uphold as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel. Number one is that the only way to get to heaven is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's an ordinance of the church. That there's no other way. There's no good deeds that could be done to give us merit in the kingdom of God. There's zero. And those guys know the scriptures. They know what they believe. That it's only through Jesus. That Jesus is what? The way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. We're to pray to the Father. Father, Father. That's what the scripture says. Through Jesus. That's one thing. They also know water baptism, that we are to be water baptized, you know, to show outwardly what God has done inwardly in a person. That the old man goes down and the new man comes up, you know. Also, they know the scriptures of communion and what it means, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the ordinances of the church. Those things that we have to have nailed down. And that we're not washed, we're not tossed with every wind of doctrine going here and there at all, you know. And also, one of the other ones is that he's coming back. The rapture of the church, he's coming back for his people. And one day it says that the trumpet will blow, and they believe and understand that the scripture says, go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Go and give the word out. You know, and as you do that, the people will come in. The people will hear the word, and they will accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Those are the tenets, if you want to say, or the ordinances of a church, and they believe those things and live it. You know, before we go on, you know, I know as a church we have agreed that these two guys deserve to be ordained by God. Number one, because they've been called by God. That's the main thing, people. Called by God. Called by God. When God calls and God picks, that's what we do. And so they're just stepping into the call of God, saying, yes, man has agreed with God and has put their approval on it. And so, number one, they've been called by God. And number two, they will preach the gospel uncompromisingly. And we don't know what's going to happen in the future to both you guys. Oh no. Where y'all going to be? I hope they stay here. But, you know, that's not my, I can't, oh no. Oh no, God, you know what needs to be done. You know what needs to be done. So I just want to ask everybody in the house today, do you agree that they've been called by God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you will support them and help them in whatever capacity or way that you can to help them to bring the gospel to the lost? Amen. Anybody disagree? Just making sure. Nobody wants to raise their hand. Is like, all we'll do is stone you and throw you inside. No. Right. My stone, no. No. Amen. Well, this is a time where we're going to pray for them, guys. If you would, I'd like for our council men and women to come. If you are a pastor, you've been ordained, I'd like for you to come. We don't have a lot of room, so it's kind of like you're kind of okay. But what we're going to do is, if you would you please stand, if you could? And I pray this, would you please just stretch forth your hand in a form of agreement as we pray over them, asking God to move upon their lives and to lead and guide them in Jesus' name. Amen.
He's answered your call. He shall go forth and preach. Your word says, Lord, how can they hear, Father, unless there was a preacher? Unless somebody preaches the gospel? How can men be saved unless they hear the gospel? And I thank you, Father, that you put a purpose and a passion in this man's heart for truth, that truth shall be preached to all the world. Whoever you place in front of him, Father, your word will go forth. Your truth will go forth. He has a passion and a desire for your truth, Father. And he's a passion that others come into that truth to be saved, to be free, to be loosed. And not only loosed and free, but to be called to fulfill their calling in their lives. And I thank you, Lord, that he's a builder of the family name. And that he goes forth and populates your kingdom and teaches others to operate in that kingdom. In Jesus' name.
If you would, stretch forth your hand. We're going to anoint Otis first. As far as follow me, Jelaine and I, we anoint him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we approve of what you've done for him, Lord God. Lord God, we pray a mighty anointing upon him, Lord. Father, I pray that he will trust in the cross of Calvary and what you have done for him, Lord, and that he will overcome all things through you and through what you've done. Father, I pray a mighty anointing of leading and guiding him, Lord, in the direction that you want him to go in, Lord. Be with him, Lord. Help him, Lord God. Father, I pray that everything he touches will be blessed by God, blessed by you, Lord. And everywhere he walks, you will give it to him, Lord. Anoint, bless, protect, be with him, Lord. And make yourself known unto him better than ever before, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done in his life and in their family, Lord. We give you praise, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we pray for Andrew, Lord. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, we thank you for the mighty anointing that you have upon his life, Lord. Father, we look forward to the mighty things that are going to be accomplished in Scripture, Lord God, in the things of the Word of God that you have done in his heart and life. Father, we look forward to great and mighty things in Jesus' name. Father, protect him, lead him, guide him, and be with him, Lord. Your anointing and your spirit to rest upon this young man, Lord. Lord, protect him from the evils of this world, Lord God. And Father, help him to stand strong. Father, help him to be like Joshua, Lord. To be strong and courageous, Lord God. Never to give in to the things of this world, Lord God, but only to give in to the heart of his Father. We thank you for calling him, and we thank you that you approve of him, and that you will walk alongside him in everything he does, Lord. Bless him beyond measure. We give you praise and honor and thanks. In Jesus' name, anoint, Lord God, this young man. Thank you.
You know his life, and you know how his life is pretty special. And when he preaches, people will know that he's from God, Lord. And just bless him.
As I thought about you all week, You have what it takes to be a man of God. You have an awesome support staff. Your parents, and not only your parents, but they're your pastors, and they have your best interests at heart more than anyone on the earth. You have what it takes, and you're going to be awesome.
Andrew, we grew up together. I'm not 53 years old. It's been enough.
Well, I've asked them both to share their favorite scriptures and to share maybe a little something about God's call upon their lives. So if you would, I'd have you all share.
The old man goes first.
You can receive it. Thank you.
I'm looking over the crowd this morning. I just need to say this first. And I'm looking at Nisa and I'm looking at Jelaine. Out of all the people in here, I think they know me the longest. Is there anything impossible for God?
Yes, hallelujah.
There's nothing impossible for God. I was looking at Jeremy. I was hoping he'd come to me. I was. Do you think there's anything impossible with God? Jeremy knows what I'm talking about. There's nothing impossible with God. I preached that last night almost. I never said those words, but all the lost ones you have that you're praying for each day, there's nothing impossible of God. Claim them already. I was going through my scriptures, and every morning when I get up, I pray Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day that He has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For me, it's a choice. Every morning I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Y'all need to choose what y'all want. There's no just waking up and moving on. You need to choose each decision you make, each path you take. You need to choose them and use God's word to choose it with. That's what we need to do each day. Today, coming to church this morning, it was pouring down rain. God never told us we never have tribulation in our lives. He never told us that. So He made today for each and every one of us to rejoice and be glad in it. It is our choice to do it. I never grew up in the Lord. I never went to church as a child. Brother Joe, as a young person, and Andrew from the time he was born. But I fought. I fought real hard, and I talked about it in my sermon last night. I fought real hard, denying Him what He wanted for me. But He never gave up on me. The prayer warriors never gave up on me. The one I put through the most trouble never gave up on me. God is there for each and every one of His children, lost or born again. He's touching everybody each and every day. It's our choice to obey Him and to follow His word. Just mention it to your lost ones. Be honorable in front of them. Say you understand. Because you really do. You don't like it. But you do understand what they're going through. Because each and every one of us went through it. But God kept tugging and tugging and tugging.
It's not long ago, I was still at Praise Jesus Ministries in Amberville when I felt it. I felt it hard. And I started ministering there. But God speaks to me a lot in dreams. I'll have a dream the night before, and the next day it comes to pass. So I had a dream that I was sitting about where Jeremy was sitting, and Pastor Joe was up here preaching. I had it three times. At that time, he was at Faith Christian. So I believed God was bringing me to him. He wanted me to go listen to him preach. That's when Joe and Jess met. A lot of people tell me that's why we went there. I believe that's one of the reasons. But until we came here, the true revelation came true. This is where I had to be, and this is where he was bringing me to. So not things don't happen like that all the time. You got to be patient with God. It's not our time. It's going to be his time. You need to obey him. Just like when Abraham and Isaac went up to the hill. Abraham had no idea what was going on, but God had a plan. He has a plan like that for each and every one of y'all in here. Until y'all start following that plan is when you're going to get your true rest. Amen. I'm going to let Andrew speak. Last night I had to speak after him. Thank y'all.
I do apologize to Blaine. As far as pastors, he's been ordained, and I didn't think about him coming up and praying. Would you like to pray with him before we go on? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. I'm not in the business of hurting people. I'm in the business of helping people. Amen. Andrew.
Whenever he asks me to come up with a Bible verse to talk about today for a minute or so, I didn't know what I was going to do, but whenever I was preaching Friday night, I figured out what I was going to say. And it's going to be mostly just a recap of what happened Friday. Friday, I preached on the seven churches of Asia, but the big thing was I taught about how when Moses, Aaron, and Hur were up on the mountain and the children of Israel were fighting down on the ground, he had to sit on a rock. And that rock is Jesus.
Come on.
Whatever you go through life, whatever it is, no matter what it is, whether you need a healing from a sickness, whether you need spiritual healing, financial help, what you do is you rest in the rock. You rest in the rock. Aaron and Hur are a picture of the church. Moses got tired and he put down his arms and the children of Israel started to lose. So they picked up his arms and held him there. That's why you have to go to a spirit-filled cross-preaching church and show up on time. Because that Sunday or whatever it is might be the time for your healing.
Hallelujah.
Don't skip, because you might miss what the Lord is trying to do in your life. I'm a few years late. Dad has told me from my birth that you're called. I'm a few years late, but better late than never. Yeah, I denied it throughout, no. And that's anybody who has ever been called it. No. That's impossible. No. But it wasn't until I rested in the rock that I knew. And you couldn't deny it. You couldn't deny it. You got to rest in that rock. And everything. You're going to go through trials and tribulations, but when you've built your house and you stay on that rock and don't deviate from that rock, that is when you're going to have, first off, victory in your life, because the rock is Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Perfect Lamb of God. You have victory there. You'll have peace there. It may be good for a while somewhere else, but that rock's not going to move. The dust is going to move. Everything's going to move, but that rock's going to stay right there.
Hallelujah. And I don't blame was Andrew's youth pastor for many years. So, we do want to thank you, Mia. Otis, we have a certificate of ordination to Otis East as a minister of the gospel on November the 4th, 2018. And Andrew, a certificate of ordination that they can hang up, put somewhere, and know that God has called him. Every time, you know, the devil comes against and tries to discourage, they can look at that plaque and know, God called me. God called me. I've told our people, you know, October is probably the worst month for the church. That's it. October is the worst month for the body of Christ because of all the activity of Halloween and all that junk, people. It's bad. Of evil, evil, evil. More pastors get out of the pulpit and quit the pulpit in October than any other part of the year. They walk out of that pulpit because they're discouraged. Because maybe they don't see what God is doing, or they just get discouraged with life and sometimes just want to give up. And even, you know, that's pastors, even the church itself, you know, gets discouraged, and the power of God has to come in and help them and regain their direction and sight upon the cross of Calvary and what God has done for them. So, guys, we appreciate you, and we want to thank you for taking this step today. Okay. Wait,
I'm not impressed.
Where's the mic? Let me keep getting the mic. Because, you know, you think everybody can hear you, but not really. Not.
God impressed me. He's going to send Andrew a godly woman. And if Andrew will wait on God for this woman, she'll help him in his ministry. Because a preacher, I think, I see it through y'all, you know, that a wife helps y'all. And God impressed me that he sent Andrew a godly woman.
Wait, wait for the right one. I'll tell you what, you can get in trouble. Yes. Oh, my Lord, okay. Y'all know I need to preach.
Otis, I just want to let you know that I'm with you for the long haul.
Oh, my Lord. Well, okay, we'll use this segment to let everybody speak. Really, I haven't time to do it. But we'll do it now. Whoever wants to speak about the church or whatever, if they want to give praise unto the Lord, we'll do that, okay?
Andrew, when you were about 7 years old, I was taking care of you, and y'all had gone on vacation, and you had gotten a stack. You remember that stack you had gotten? Well, I look outside, you were on a rock, and you were holding that rod. I said, look at you, whatever, Moses. You blessed my heart that day. And I knew the Lord had called.
Amen. Yes. She said she'll stick with you to the long haul. And God will bring what you need. Gotta wait for the right one. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just making sure. It's only once, people, so you know, that's why I'm just.
And I asked him if this was okay. I didn't know if I'd get a chance. Joe and I have been married, me this month, 30 years. And the Lord has blessed us with what I call three thoroughbred babies. And raising them, I often said I could write a book, and I'd title it Raising Anthony. And his siblings would attest to that. When he was in second or third grade, I don't know, he learned the fact that water freezes at 32 degrees. Learned it. A few days later, I'm walking through the house and I'm thinking, it's cold in here. Why won't that air cut off? It's cold. Let me go check the thermostat. Someone had set it to 32 degrees. And as a parent, sometimes you don't have to ask, who did this? All I had to say was, Andrew, come here. Listen, we start a new chapter with that. One that I don't know I'd have ever. I'm surprised. Raising Andrew. But my favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures in Ecclesiastes is, he makes everything beautiful in his time. And I think I've seen something beautiful. I may write a book one day, and it'll be a book you want to read. And Otis. You know, you said earlier, and I thought, you know, I've known Otis longer than I've known these two guys here, and I can't imagine, like, we went to school together. We were in the same graduating class. How many times walking in the hall we passed each other, or to know how God would bring our lives together, our children married, we share grandchildren. Now walking to the end. I'm preaching the word. I'm proud of both of you.
Anyone else? I'm proud of both of you guys. Keep it up. Keep going strong. And do what's right. Every day. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In the last book of Deuteronomy, it talks about how Moses, who was the leader of the children of Israel, was dying. And God would not let him go in to the promised land because of his disobedience in one area, one thing he did. When God said, speak to the rock, he didn't speak to it, he hid it. And let me tell you, Christ, and it signified Christ or Jesus being crucified, and he would never be crucified ever again. He was only hit once, as far as once in a time, you know, 30-something lashes, but once. And so when he died, it says that God, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, if you would turn there, please, and I won't be long. Joshua chapter 1. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servants of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And it says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Here we see a great move of God. God brought Moses to the time of death, and he rose up, and God chose the leader. That's the amazing thing, people. God chooses the leaders. God chooses the pastors. God has to call them and choose them and place them. Not man, because man will make mistakes. God won't. God never makes mistakes. But choosing, and see, just as God has chosen these two guys to preach the gospel, some of you out there, I know God has chosen you to preach the gospel. You need to surrender to it. Let God use you. Get in a place where God can raise you up and be a mighty man or woman of God, and let the preaching of the gospel come forth. Don't let it die. Because when it dies, that's it. And it takes a mighty move of God to come and stir those things up. What God is doing and wanting to do in your heart and in your life. We are here to magnify the King and what he has done. In Numbers chapter 17, Numbers chapter 17, it says this. It says this in verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, and of all their princes, and according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. You write every man's name upon his rod. Now, let me stop there. What was happening is, Moses was the leader. Moses had Aaron with him. And the people started murmuring and complaining about everything. Lord, help me not to murmur and complain. Because God doesn't like it, people. I mean, we kind of laugh about it. And God can't stand it, people. You know? That doesn't mean we don't stand up for things that are right and true. But to murmur and complain, you know, like one person said, when you murmur and complain, you're giving praise to the enemy and not to God Almighty. But these people came after Moses and Aaron and said, look, you know, we don't want this, we want that, we don't, you know, whatever. And they're just complaining about things. You might say, well, Pastor, why are you saying that? Because I want you to see the miracle of the power of God in Numbers chapter 17, where it says in Scripture that God told Moses how to solve it. He said, this is what I want you to do. You go to every tribe of the children of Israel. There was 12 tribes. You take a rod from each person that represents that tribe. And you take one from Aaron. And I want you to place all these rods into the most holy of holies place. I mean, you know, that's where, you know, they had the holy place, then the most holy, then the holy, then in the outer courts. And he said, I want you to take all 12 of them and place them at the Ark of the Covenant there. Okay. And we'll see who God chooses. And they have to put their name, the name of the tribe, and they have to put the name of that person so everybody would know who belongs to who. And it also says the next day when he went in, that they went in, and all of a sudden it says that Aaron's rod had blossomed. Whoever thought that there could be life on a rod that has been out and disconnected from the root for many years? Only with God. And he brought them out to the people, and he said, look at this. Look what God can do. And they looked to him, they said, please forgive us. We have strayed from the truth. We have done what was evil, and we will obey your voice. The majesty of our God, the power of our God. You see, we live in a day and age where God said he's what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. The power of Almighty God that can move upon our families, move upon our churches. We don't live in the stone ages. We don't live in the dead ages. We live in 2018 where God said he can do the impossible, where it seems impossible, where he can do it. Yes. That's the power of Almighty God. Amen. We should never live below what God has called us to live. Look, the power of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God. That's the Almighty God. Look, magnify the King, what he can do. Look at this. In Leviticus chapter 9, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 9. Oh, my Lord. Look at this. Look at verse 22. It says, and Aaron lifted up his hands towards the people and blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came fire out of from before the Lord. It says that that fire was by the Ark of the Covenant, which came through the Holy of Holies and hit through the veil of the temple and consumed the burnt offering that they had put there. And when all the people saw that, they shouted and fell on their faces before God. People, there's nothing impossible that God cannot do. The fire that came down into that tabernacle, the fire that came down through that veil and consumed the burnt offering, as all the people were there looking, saying, what kind of God is this? This is Jehovah God, people. There's no one like our God. There's no one. You know that song, there's no one like Jehovah? There's no one like Jehovah? There's no one like Jehovah. We live in a time where God says, believe me, and I'll do it if it's according to his will. Believe me, and I'll do it if it's according to his will. That's the power of God. God wants to wake up the church, wake up believers to believe him for the impossible. They'll say, look, Lord, things are happening that aren't right, but I'm believing you, Lord. You've called me to do this, I'll do it. Lord, you've called me to be a blessing here, I'll do it, Lord. And not fall back and do what's not good. I've often said, America has become number one again in wealth because of our president. That's the truth. Because of our president, President Trump, the wealth has been given back to America. Not for us to consume on our own selves. Now, there's, you know, yeah, we need to buy this and that. You know. But let me tell you what. God has given wealth to this nation again so we can propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ before he comes again for his people. It takes money. I'm sorry, it does. It takes money to buy Bibles. It takes money, you know, to do all the things that need to be done. That's how it's done. And I know some people have used it wrongly and has not done it right. But God has brought wealth to America. Lord, look, for us not to just consume it upon ourselves, but to give it to ministries that are touching the world for the kingdom of God and saving souls, people. When someone dies, that's it. That's it. When someone passes away, that's it. That's all. It's either heaven or hell. That's it. There's no in between. We need to get out there and preach that gospel and not be ashamed of the things that they might say or do, but stand up for the things of God. You might say, well, my knees might be shaking. That's okay. You just shake, but you're standing tall. And I tell you what, you know, we might say, well, yeah, our knees are shaking. But let me tell you, as we look to the cross of Calvary, the power of Almighty God, the power of the Holy Spirit is leashed out upon the God's people to overcome sin, to overcome evil in our hearts and in our lives. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it talks about the dry bones. People, the church is so dry, my God. The church has never been the wealthiest it has ever been today. We have so much money. There's so much wealth. We have the best seats. We have the best carpets. We have the best air conditioners. We have the best everything. I mean, you know, we have it. but we lost something. And we didn't get back to that something. And that's our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Yeah. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer. It's nothing else. Let it God be God and what he can do. Ezekiel said those dry bones. God said, Ezekiel, the priest, prophesy to those bones. Okay, Lord, I'll prophesy to them. And he prophesied to those bones. They were dry, brittle, breaking. You know, everybody remembers last winter, the horror of the winter. Everybody's pipes were breaking and all kinds of stuff out. Everything. We don't want to remember that. One thing I didn't do was to protect my fig tree. I just didn't think of it. I was worried more about water than anything. You know, making sure you had water running. And my fig tree died, and I didn't even know it. Till it was starting, it should have been blooming. Should have had figs, and there's really nothing. So after a while, we go up to that tree, we're looking at it, inspecting it, and you can break the twig, break it just like nothing. So after a while, I said, I'll have to dig this thing up and whatever. And sure enough, the freeze had killed most of it. Most of it. Still a little bit, that's okay, but most of it. And when I started to take off all the stuff that needed to be taken off from the root of it, when you break it open, it was like a powder. Because it froze. It died. Brittle. You see, God told Ezekiel, prophesy to those bones. People, as you get in your word, and you pray and you seek the Father, you prophesy to yourself. Oh, my God. When you don't open that word, when you don't open this word, and you just leave it like this on the shelf, and you go to church, you don't know that God's preaching the truth or not. God says, open it up. Get that word. Prophesy to yourself. It builds your faith. It builds the power of God on the inside of you. It builds what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. It builds what God wants to do. Thank you. Let the power of God move in you. Let God use you. Let the presence of God. Also, it says God's word says that he's coming back. Luke chapter 21, verse 34, we're about to close. I'm trying to wrap this up quickly. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of getting hungry. Huh? Amen. Oh, what a beautiful, it hadn't rained since then. Huh? God's a good God. You know, when we put our faith in him, I remember one day, guys, we got to church. And we had no electricity. I mean zero. And people are coming. And I said, well, what are we going to do? So what we did was we opened the doors. Nothing works, you know. And we were going to just have the doors open, just try to, and just have a Bible study. Just try to do that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah. And we had gotten word with the city and all that it was going to be hours, you know, late during the day. And so I walked out. Jolene and I walked out there and said, Lord, we need him. And I'm telling you, Jelaine walked out at that almost at right that time. And it wasn't 10 what? 10:01? 10:05. It came on. Boom! I said, Lord, thank you. Get everything ready. We're going to have church. That's the power of Almighty God. You might say, well, that's just a little thing. Maybe little. To us, that's big. That's big. Because you know, people's souls are in the balance. In Luke chapter 21, look at verse 34. It said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with servitude or debauchery, and drunkenness and cares of this life, until that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare it shall come on all them who dwell upon the face of the earth. Talking about the rapture of the church. Don't be consumed with the affairs of the world, people. Be consumed with the affairs of the gospel. And God will take care of all that stuff. He also says that God is coming in the twinkling of an eye. One day. One day. One day. Those eastern skies are going to open up. And I know you probably say, you know, we've heard this for so many years. That's okay. It doesn't matter if we believe it or not, but the word says he's coming for his church. God says he's come for those that are watching, those that are ready. And so while he's getting prepared to come and get his church, we do the work of the ministry here and get the job done. But it says that he's coming, he will come like in a twinkling of an eye. That's fast, people, for his people. Just be ready. Just be ready. I say, well, Pastor, what do I need to do? Every day, go to God. You might say, well, do I have to come to church to go to God? No. You can come, but you can go to God in your bedroom, in your living room, in your car, upon your job, everywhere. It says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the Gideons, I know that. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling upon him, because he's coming for his people. He's coming for his people. He's coming. Can you imagine when that trumpet blows? My God, what's going to happen? It says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Didn't say for 10 years, 20 years, forever. Then you have the other things that are coming up, the millennial age and all that stuff coming. But people, be ready. Do the work that God calls you. Don't run from the call of God like the first scriptures I read. But run to him and let him use you. God is looking for a people that will humble themselves before him. And when we humble ourselves before him, he looks at our hearts. And I know every one of you in here, you have a heart for God. You wouldn't be here today. I know that. But you have a heart for God. You love God. You know, we may not understand everything, but you and I love God and want to do his will and be what he wants us to be. Amen. Would you please stand?